Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Kayla Hall.
But it's here. It's all around surrounding. We're just not getting the influx of it yet. Like I'm sorry to say that I assume we will.
Moorhead Police Captain David Sexton says the city's heroin problems are only just beginning.
Ashland continues to look for a location for the Boyd County Farmers Market.
And today marks the final day of the Governor's Scholars Program at MSU.
In sports, a University of Kentucky basketball player is transferring.
Bud Luke has a check of your business world.
Partly cloudy skies this evening with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 70. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A Johnson County woman today was sentenced to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to hindering prosecution in connection with the deaths of Larry and Sandra Blanton of Oil Springs. WLEX reports that Amanda Fannin appeared in Johnson County Circuit Court before Judge David Preston. Fannin led authorities to the bodies of the slain couple in exchange for prosecutors not seeking the death penalty against her, her boyfriend at the time, Willie Blanton. Blanton is the couple's son, and last month he was sentenced to life in prison after admitting he beat his parents to death and buried them on the family farm.
Saying it's here, a Moorhead police chief says the community will likely have to brace itself for an increased number of incidents related to the area's growing problem with heroin. Captain David Sexton notes the recent attempted holdups of a local bank and fast food restaurant could be examples of what's in store for the city, since drug users often turn to various kinds of theft to help pay for their habits. With that in mind, Sexton has some advice for area residents.
Lock your doors. If you see any suspected activity, call us immediately. Don't wait till you get home or wait till after. We get a lot of calls. People say, well, I saw this, a couple hours ago. It's kind of hard for us to do anything about it then. If they see something going on, let us know right then. And that way we can do something and jump onto it.
Authorities say heroin is replacing prescription pills as the region's illicit drug of choice, since heroin is cheaper and pills have become harder to come by for dealers.
WSAZ is reporting that a 34-year-old Ashland man is held in the Boyd County Detention Center following his arrest on felony charges of cocaine trafficking. Leron Taylor was taken into custody Thursday night after he allegedly sold crack cocaine to an undercover officer. Boyd County deputies say they confiscated drugs and drug paraphernalia during a search of Taylor's home.
A Ripley man is facing charges of money laundering and welfare and food stamp fraud following his indictment by a Brown County grand jury. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports that the indictment of David Kilgore alleges that he made illegal use of more than $7,500 from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, engaged in Medicaid fraud, and falsified records. The newspaper says if convicted, Kilgore could get up to 26 years in prison.
Inmates at the Federal Correctional Institution in Summit turned away lunch and even meals and evening meals on Wednesday. The warden's executive assistant, David Brewer, tells the Ashland Independent the prison is operating on a status just below lockdown, with inmates confined to their cells at all times other than for meals. Brewer says he doesn't know exactly how many prisoners had boycotted the meals, but he says it was quite a few. He adds officials are not sure why. Brewer does not describe the situation as a hunger strike because inmates refusing to eat in the dining hall still have access to food in the prison commissary.
Rowan County Jailer Don Hall is calling it quits. Hall says he'll retire after his current term in office ends at the end of December 2014. Beginning in 1994, he's spent a total of 17 years in the job, serving four terms in office. Hall says that's enough in the high-stress position.
There is a lot of pressure associated with this, and people that work in corrections, the stress level, that the lifespan of corrections officers is a whole lot shorter than the average lifespan. So, just not in the administrative position of it, but also the officers.
Outside of helping in his son Don Jr.'s campaign for Rowan Sheriff, Hall has no solid plans for what he'll do after he retires. However, he hopes to remain involved in the county's effort to build a new regional detention center. Hall thanks the voters of Rowan County for giving him the opportunity to serve as jailer and admits that his decision to step down was not an easy one.
When Senator Mitch McConnell faces off against prospective general election opponent Allison Lundergan Grimes at this year's Fancy Farm Picnic, it will be the first time the Republican has squared off against his Democratic challenger this far in advance. Director of the University of Kentucky's Institute for Rural Journalism and Community Issues, Al Cross, says McConnell had one such opportunity in his first bid for re-election and didn't take it.
In 1989, looking ahead to 1990, Harvey Sloan, the Jefferson County Judge Executive, was openly running against McConnell, and McConnell did not give him the opportunity of a face-off that far in advance.
McConnell's last opponent, Bruce Lunsford, didn't declare his candidacy until very late in the election cycle. Cross expects this showdown at Fancy Farm to be no holds barred, with Grimes looking to energize the Democratic base and McConnell linking Grimes with President Barack Obama.
An Ashland woman who says she represents senior citizens throughout the community told city commissioners yesterday they should allow the Boyd County Farmers Market to operate in Central Park one day a week. Linda Green says seniors believe the park is the best location, even though other sites have been suggested. Green says the farmers market should not create parking problems in Central Park since most of the produce is sold by noon. However, City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says other locations can accommodate more traffic.
We want a farmers market that is user-friendly, and user-friendly means it has to have ample parking for customers. We've identified at least three locations in the Central Business District where that will work better than in Central Park. We're all for a farmer's market. In fact, I was at one this morning.
Ashland's Park Board rejected a proposal to hold the farmer's market in Central Park, and city commissioners declined to overrule that decision. Other venues mentioned as possible alternatives include the parking lot of King's Daughters Medical Center, the Ashland Tennis Center, and Crab Elementary School.
A state grant will improve firefighter training in Northeast Kentucky. At least that's the hope of Ashland Fire Chief Scott Pinnock. He says it'll enable construction of a new training center in Ashland.
We got a $200,000 grant from the State Fire Commission to build the classroom. It'll have restrooms and everything, and just make the whole training facility a lot more usable, versatile for other functions, and hopefully improve the quality of the fire training in the region.
Pinnock says the training center will span about 30 feet by 60 feet. He says it should be finished before the end of the year.
State Representative John Will Stacy is skeptical of any state or federal deregulation proposals that don't guarantee support for landline phone service in rural communities. The West Liberty Democrats district includes Morgan, Rowan, Menifee, and Wolf counties. Stacy says the terrain of eastern Kentucky requires major investments in cell phone towers that companies may not be willing to make. Besides, he says, the March 2012 tornado that devastated parts of his district proved how unreliable cell phones can be during a storm.
Even for the people that didn't get hit by the tornado, if their property was still standing, they didn't have any damage whatsoever, well, their cell phones weren't working because they didn't have the capacity to carry all those calls. And I'm sure that the same thing has happened with Hurricane Sandy and Katrina and everywhere else.
Stacy made his comments this week during a meeting of the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Economic Development and Tourism.
A South Central Kentucky power plant could undergo a $15 million upgrade aimed at meeting federal air regulations and keeping its generating capacity viable under a plan being weighed by its owner. East Kentucky Power Cooperative is looking at the possibility of doing the work on the John Sherman Cooper Power Station at Burnside. The company's CEO, Tony Campbell, tells the Commonwealth Journal the proposal is a very reasonable investment in the future of the plant, which serves more than 500,000 customers in 87 counties.
A Kentucky congressman who chairs a House subcommittee on higher education and lifelong learning says federal overreach has failed to improve academic performance in local school districts. Brett Guthrie is a Republican from Bowling Green. Guthrie is backing a rewrite of the federal No Child Left Behind law, which backers call the Student Success Act. He says it eliminates dozens of federal education programs and permits states to craft their own accountability standards.
Our state and local leaders have the best understanding of their own school districts and student populations, so we must get Washington out of our students' classrooms and equip them with the tools necessary to put our students on a path toward academic excellence.
Guthrie says the bill does that by restoring local control and empowering parents. He spoke on the House floor Thursday. Opponents argue the measure repeals a requirement that schools hire highly qualified instructors or people who hold bachelor's degrees and teaching credentials.
Today marks the final day of the five-week Governor's Scholars Program at Morehead State University. MSU has been one of three state institutions to host this year's session. As David Patrick reports, GSP officials have been very pleased with the partnership.
More than 350 high school students from 97 different counties have been on the MSU campus for the Governor's Scholars Program. GSP Campus Director Charlie Myers says MSU has exceeded all expectations.
I had several faculty members who said to me early in the program, you know, it really looks like Morehead wants us here. And I think that this is very powerful when they notice something like that. And it's true. It's true.
MSU Community Service and Marketing Coordinator Melissa Patrick has acted as the liaison between GSP and the university. Patrick says visiting students have been impressed with MSU's hospitality.
I'm very proud. I have heard any number of scholars talk about they didn't know that this existed here, and they didn't know that a community could be so friendly and welcoming, and they didn't realize the individual attention that you would get at a smaller facility.
The Governor's Scholars Program will return to Morehead State in both 2014 and 15. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio, I'm David Patrick.
A Sandy Hook Resource Center will offer an upcoming parent college. Sarah's Place will host a class once a week for those who want to sharpen their parenting skills. The facility's job skills director is Benton Clark, who says the program is a great opportunity for inexperienced parents to learn how to become the best mentors for the children that they can be.
Offered to any adult, and we also are providing daycare. We have a limited amount of space for the first class. We try to limit it to 12 participants. Hopefully, we're going to have the husband and wife, but it's available to Elliott County, Morgan County, Carter.
The parent college at Sarah's Place starts August 6th and will be offered every Tuesday between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Child care will be provided.
And finally this afternoon, Mason County Coroner Robert Brothers has died after suffering a heart attack over the weekend. He was 73 years old. The Ledger Independent reports that Brothers passed away Thursday evening at St. Joseph Hospital in Lexington. He had been Mason's coroner since his election in 1998. Brothers is survived by his wife, two daughters, and two stepsons.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Bourbon, Fleming, and Magoffin. Tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows around 70. Saturday, partly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely, especially in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s, chance of rain 60%. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, lows around 70, chance of rain 60%. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s, chance of rain 50%. Currently in Ashland, it is 90 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 86 degrees. Winchester, 84 degrees. Lexington, 91 degrees. 89 in Inez, and it is 83 degrees in Morehead.
The time is 4:44, and you are listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. We are 90.3 FM. Thank you for joining us. On behalf of Kayla Hall, I'm Joshua Grandison, and we're happy to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Morehead State University professor Dr. John Modaff. He says no job is more dreaded or important than jury duty.
I'm recording today outside, near the road, watching cars and trucks go by. Any one of these people driving by could sit in judgment of you or me one day. Can you think of a duty more grave Maybe that's why people run from it like they run from the grave. Jury duty. Ugh. Give most people a choice between a root canal and jury duty, and they'll jump into the dentist's chair. I'm fully convinced most people would rather be on trial than have to sit on a jury. That's how bad it is. In a big, beautiful nation like ours, with so much to do, who can blame people for not wanting to perform jury duty? The pay stinks. The hours are often very long. Things get messed up at work and at home. Both sides of the case are ready to hug you or to hang you, depending on how you think. And in some cases, the decision ripples outside of the courtroom, possibly putting you at risk as you try to get back to regular life with the people whose lives just got tossed upside down. It ain't no fun. But all of that does not explain why jury duty is avoided like a manure pile. People could tolerate all of the conditions noted a moment ago without that much trouble if they wanted to. People put up with far worse just going to a Cubs game. No, I think the reason people avoid jury duty isn't the lousy money, the disruptions, the social consequences, the physical and emotional strains. The reason people avoid jury duty is simple. People do not know how to jury. Yes, there are wonderful juries. Why, we've seen a few good decisions just lately, but that doesn't change the fact that we do not receive 1 minute of focused instruction in 12 years of public education on how to be a good juror. If they tried to hide jury duty from kids, they couldn't do a better job. True, a child may be educated and pick up in various subjects the mental abilities necessary to perform as a fair juror, but have we ever talked out loud about just what those abilities would be? No, we do not discuss it. We assume that if a person can breathe and run the gauntlet of selection, they will do. That's bad thinking. Jury duty is the most important thing any of us will ever do. We are handed the reins of fate. We are given power over freedom, over life itself, over the happiness and health of the accused and everyone who relies on them. No wonder people run from it. When we haven't practiced, such responsibilities can be more than one person wants to bear. So, whether you liked some of the recent court decisions or not, the question remains, did you have any confidence that the jury would perform rationally? And, now that the verdict is in, did they? We need to start educating people to be jurors right now.
Hell, you're crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is an associate professor of speech at Morehead State University. Jay Scott has been keeping a check of your sports world, and he's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in a parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moreheadrecycling.org.
A Kentucky basketball transfer, something new for John Calipari. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. Some big-time news coming out of Lexington today as the University of Kentucky forward Kyle Wilcher will be officially transferring to Gonzaga University. Kyle's father confirmed the news earlier today that he will be making the move back to the West Coast. Speculation to why the move happened comes after Wilcher spent the summer playing in the World University Games with Team Canada, along with Gonzaga point guard Kevin Pangos. The All-Star break is over and Major League Baseball is back, especially in a big way for the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds will open up a home series tonight at Great American Ballpark against the second-place team in the division, the Pittsburgh Pirates. If the Reds want to continue their success in the second half of the season, they must have continued production in the cleanup spot by second baseman Brandon Phillips. Phillips is fourth in the majors in RBIs, and he says simply that's just what he does.
I'm just doing my job. I mean, you know, the Reds wanted me to step up in the leadoff, the cleanup position, and it's been fun. I mean, if it wasn't for Chu and Jordy Votto, all the guys hitting in front of me, I wouldn't be here. My number one goal was to get as many ribbies as possible, try to get 100. I mean, something I never did in my career. I'm kind of close to it. You know, I wanted to get 75 ribbies before the All-Star break. That was one of my goals. I came one short.
The Redlegs trail the Buccos by 4 games in the division as they hold on to a 53-42 record. In one other note from the majors, Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter has been placed on the 15-day disabled list with a strained right quad. His return is slated for July 27th. Looking at other games in Major League Baseball tonight in the National League, the Cardinals will host a West Coast squad in the Padres. The Cubs will be on the road to Colorado to face the Rockies. The Nationals will host the Dodgers, and the Giants will welcome in the Diamondbacks. In the American League, Boston will welcome in their biggest rival in the Yankees. The Tigers will be on the road to Kansas City to face the Royals. The White Sox will host the Braves, and the Indians will face the Twins in Minnesota. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire thinks his latest crop of recruits will help the Eagles get better work from their bullpen in 2014. Pitchers Seth Boyle from Greenup County, Luke Humphreys from Dixon County in Tennessee, and Dylan Ramage from Southeastern Community College in Iowa all signed with MSU this week. McGuire says the three new hurlers should create some good competition during fall practices for spots in the Eagles' bullpen.
We return a lot of our pitching staff, although I think that our recruiting class is really going to push those guys, and they push some guys into lesser roles, and if that happens, it's because we've gotten a lot better. You know, it's going to come down to, you know, who pitched the best for us, who fits in the right spot, who's versatile, who can pitch out of the bullpen, who needs to start, all those things. And, you know, the main thing, college baseball, is getting the most innings you can out of your best arms.
The Eagle pitching staff last season had an ERA of 5.97. The pitching staff will also get a boost next spring from the return of junior starting ace Aaron Goh, who missed much of last season because of injury. Day two is complete at the Open Championship at Murrayfield in Scotland for the PGA's top golfers. Taking a glance at the leaderboard, which has a new leader. At the top, holding on to the first place spot is Miguel Jimenez, who sits at 3 under. There's a four-way tie for second as Henrik Stenson, Lee Westwood, Dustin Johnson, and Tiger Woods all are at 2 under. And yesterday's leader, Zach Johnson, Rafael Cabrera-Bello, Angel Cabrera, and Martin Laird are all tied for sixth at 1 under. Three-time champ Tiger Woods says he feels he knows what he has to do to stay in contention.
Just continue plodding along. Just continue being patient, putting the ball in the right spots, and trying. We're not going to get a lot of opportunities out there, but when I have, I've been able to capitalize, and hopefully I can continue doing that.
Other notable scores show Phil Mickelson finished at 1 over, and former Morehead State golfer Josh Teeter will golf another day as he sits at 4 over, with the projected cut being at 7 over par. Kentucky's Raymond Sanders is lamenting the recent loss of fellow running back Josh Clements. The sophomore, who was coming back from 2011 knee surgery, tore his Achilles tendon during a workout last week, and he'll be sidelined for the entire 2013 season. According to Sanders, that's a tough deal.
Like myself, he's from Georgia. We played against each other in park ball. Like, you know, me and Josh, we're cool friends. And, you know, seeing them, you know, fight through that injury and, you know, the first injury and come back and build his confidence in his knee, and then to see that happen. It's hard seeing that on your friend. So I just want to be there for him. We're praying for him, and hopefully, you know, he's able to come back even stronger.
Sanders led the Cats with 669 yards rushing last season. In another UK football note, junior defensive end Bud Dupree and senior linebacker Avery Williamson were named Thursday as preseason third-team All-SEC picks. Round County football coach Kyle Singleton is using this summer's preseason camp to retool the Vikings defense. Featuring an aggressive blitzing 3-4 scheme last year, Rowan's D was ripped by its opponents for an average of 37 points a game. Singleton hopes a key change will help that group improve this fall.
We're kind of switching over to a four-man front. Just looking at what we got personnel-wise this year, we're pretty deep as far as with our front seven. But, you know, as far as in the back end, we're kind of thin at some of the skill positions. I feel pretty good about the kids that we got there. We just got to do a good job this summer in developing some of our twos and threes to establish a little more depth back there.
The Vikings finished last season at 4-7. They faced Clark County in their 2013 opener on August 24th at the Recreation Bowl in Mount Sterling. And finally, some 6,000 participants could be in Central Kentucky for this weekend's Bluegrass State Games. This is the 29th year for the statewide amateur competition. Bluegrass Sports Commission Director Terry Johnson says last year competitors came from 99 of 120 Kentucky counties.
We are strongest in Central Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky and Northern Kentucky and Louisville. And we are working, it's one of our big efforts is to try and move westward couple centuries after the country did, but we're trying to move westward. We get participation from Western Kentucky, but not to the level we want, and we want to make sure the folks over there feel a part of this. This is the state games.
When it's all said and done, about 16,000 people are expected to compete this summer in some 35 sports. Organizers claim Kentucky State Games see some of the best participation in the country. That's a look into the sports world. Have a great weekend. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The Dow and S&P 500 both ended with a fourth straight week of wins, and the S&P closed at yet another record high today. The NASDAQ, however, finished lower for the week, down 0.3% after being up for three consecutive weeks. The index was dragged down by poor quarterly results from Google and Microsoft. And as mentioned today, the Dow Jones not showing a whole lot of action either way, finishing with a small loss of 4.8 at 15,543.74. The S&P 500 up 2.72 at a record close of 1692.09. And the NASDAQ Composite very weak today, down 23.66. In particular, it was affected by weakness in Microsoft as the NASDAQ finished at 3587.61. Investors were comforted also this week by statements from Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, as he said he would keep the Fed stimulus policies in place for as long as necessary. Tech did get trounced this week. As mentioned, Google and Microsoft both reported disappointing quarterly numbers after Thursday's closing bell, sending both stocks sharply lower today. In other earnings news, GE and Honeywell both had good results. And, of course, this points to a continuing strengthening of the global economy, as Honeywell raised its outlook for the year after the company reported better-than-expected earnings, and GE reported earnings and sales roughly in line with estimates and said it saw strong growth in U.S. orders, particularly in jet engines. Whirlpool raised its guidance for the year as the appliance maker reported a significant gain in quarterly sales and profit. And Schlumberger's stock rose after the energy company reported a bump in sales and profit driven by drilling successes on land and deep water. Overseas, Asian markets were weak as China's Shanghai Composite Index dipped and Japan's Nikkei pulled back 1.5%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index managed to edge up 0.1%. And in Europe, indices there ended the day slightly lower. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 96 cents at 87.67, CSX down 16 cents at 25.39, AEP was down 8 cents at 47.14, AK Steel down 5 cents at 3.35, Marathon Petroleum up $1.31 at 69.60, Arch Coal down 8 cents at 4.04, gold was up 0.9%, and oil was up 0.3%. And reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Lows around 70. Saturday, partly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely, especially in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s, chance of rain 60%. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely. Lows around 70, chance of rain 60%. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the mid-80s, chance of rain 50%. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows in the upper 60s, chance of rain 50%. Monday, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely. Highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain 70%. In Ashland, it is 90 degrees, 86 in Flemingsburg, 84 in Winchester, 91 in Lexington, 89 in Inez, and 83 degrees in Moorhead.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Chase Johnson, and Chase Scott, Asaho Soda, and as always, Dan Conti. David Patrick from MSU's Communications and Marketing Office also helped out today, and Morehead State University Professor Dr. John Modaff gave us our feature segment. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at msuradio.com. For Kayla Hall and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. It's 5 o'clock.